As we prepare to hear scripture read, let us join together in prayer. Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, enlighten our eyes, instruct our minds, rejoice our hearts, and revive our souls so that our lives may bear witness to your word. Amen. Our first reading from the Bible today comes from Numbers chapter 11, assorted verses from 4 to 29. This passage shares several conversations between Moses, the Israelites, and God. You will hear complaints, suggestions, and praise among everyone. Let us receive the word of the Lord together. The rabble among them had a strong craving. And the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. And then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a suckling child, to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors'? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once. But if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. In this passage, the disciples complain about the work of another. And in response, Jesus teaches his friends to avoid the temptation to sin so that they may live in peace with one another. Let us listen to the words of our Lord together. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eyes cause you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Jesus Christ. Well, you've probably heard it said, membership has its privileges. It usually does, as long as you qualify for membership. Listen to some of the membership requirements for some of the most elite clubs in the world. Disney's Club 33. This is a super exclusive club at Disneyland that costs $10,000 for an individual membership and carries annual fees of a couple thousand dollars after that. But the main perks aren't really that impressive. Club members get to ride in the exclusive Lily Bell train car, and they can eat in a semi-secret dining room in New Orleans Square. If that sounds ridiculously undervalued to you, there are plenty of others that are clamoring for ultra happiness at the happiest place on earth. The Club 33 wait list is 14 years, and actually they have stopped taking inquiries altogether. If you have insane amounts of money and only want to interact with others who do, this is your New York club called the Core Club. The only membership requirement is that your annual earnings rank in the top 1% in the United States, which was just over $3 million last year. Business networking is encouraged. Conceit is expected. Entitlement is given. At least three members were reportedly interested in buying the New York Mets baseball team last year. Here's another exclusive club, the Ejection Tie Club. There are 5,607 members who have achieved a very ill-earned club membership. They've ejected from a plummeting military aircraft and survived to tell about it. Talk about specific membership requirements. This is the club where you get thrown out in order to get in. But there aren't any secret handshakes or annual banquets. The club exists only to give a necktie to those who survive their emergency ride. Well, there are a few privileges when you acquire membership in the Presbyterian denomination, such as serving as an elder or deacon, or voting at congregational meetings, but the intention of membership in our church has never been to acquire an elite invitation into an exclusive club. In today's gospel passage, the disciple John seems to think that the group of disciples following Jesus is an exclusive group and appears troubled that someone outside their group is performing a miracle. John says in today's text, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." The Message translation says it this way, "We stopped him because he wasn't in our group." The disciples clearly had already developed an us versus them mentality, and bless their hearts, but the disciples just don't understand what Jesus is trying to reveal to God's people. Not only do they not understand, but it feels like they keep trying to intervene and disrupt Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus must pause his ministry several times to help his closest students ask better questions as they travel throughout the region of Galilee. Now, I guess it's not unrealistic to think that a teacher such as Jesus won't have to pause his lesson plans from time to time to meet the disciples where they seem stuck in their studies and help them expand their minds. Of course, it's what all good teachers have to do from time to time. But now in this passage, the disciples are trying to point out the sins of others who they believe are acting on behalf of Jesus in inappropriate ways. It's almost like they're trying to take the attention or the heat off themselves and distract Jesus by having him focus on another person's sinful act. What it feels like is that they're tattling on others to take the focus off themselves. It's amazing that the disciples, well, in this passage, it's John. It's amazing that John still wants to create an opportunity to exclude people, especially since John and all the disciples just heard, as we heard last week, Jesus using the word welcome several times as he taught them with a child sitting on his lap. Now, most people might think that getting rid of a demon is a good thing, as we hear what John reveals of this other person healing, but apparently not to John. He'd rather have that demon stay put than have someone other than the 12 cast it out. So John is clearly asking, and is continuing to ask, who can still be excluded in the kingdom of God? Notice that John didn't say, because he was not following you, Jesus. No, it was because he wasn't following us. That's what John says. Now, we can give John the benefit of the doubt that Jesus was at least included in the us. But even still, in their own minds, the disciples have lumped themselves with Jesus in terms of authority and leadership. And therein lies a problem with authentic discipleship. The disciples, nor any of us, should place more concern upon naming the sin of another over the need to name our own sin. Today's passage hits the nail on the head, because as the disciples are called out, so are we. And Jesus is calling out, saying, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, the most important commandment given by Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who are using the banner of Christianity to their advantage, and in ways that seem so very contrary to the message of the gospel and the kingdom of God. Jesus' words here tell us to trust that their punishment will come. And as we decide how to respond, associate, or denounce Jesus' words, point us to the fruit of their work. Are they helping people, or are they jockeying for power? If we take Jesus' words here seriously, he's not talking about people who help others know their sin, but people who give someone a glass of water, meeting their real needs right now. Helping people know their sins and why they shouldn't belong is the work of exclusion based on one's perceived power. And we see in this passage today that the disciples are just like so many religious leaders we've encountered in the gospel, in need of repentance. The need of repentance among the religious remains in our time as well. It is true, even today, that religious leaders and even church members and places of worship still focus their attention and energy on calling out the sins of an entire people group. We've seen or heard how they passionately make it their purpose to reveal what other people are doing wrong rather than offering a message or creating a space in which people are simply welcomed and invited to experience the love of God through Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus goes into teaching mode again and helps the disciples again understand what they should do when they see others working in the name of the Lord. And essentially, Jesus tells us and tells them to let them minister and trust that the Holy Spirit will guide these other believers to work faithfully for the Holy Kingdom. Where our energies and our efforts can best be put to use is not criticizing or judging the actions of other people who are doing work in the name of the Lord. In fact, we should never make ourselves a stumbling block for another. Because you see, when we set up exclusions that keep people from God, we bring judgment upon ourselves. Of course, we know that God is all-powerful and will gather his children to himself. We can't actually stop God from communing with his people. And so the sin is found in what we are communicating about God and our place in a pecking order that we've made up. By saying that others cannot belong in the way we think we belong, we are saying that we decide a person's value and not God. Jesus says so very starkly, it is better if you would die a suffering and scary death than to tell someone who believes in me that they cannot be a part of the fellowship of believers. How easy to forget that we are all people on the way, equal in the sight of God. When we don't respect one another, or when we impede one another's communion with God, we place a stumbling block in front of them, and the stumbling block is ourselves. We step in as a mediator between them and God, a role that only belongs to Christ. That stumbling block is our own pride and attempts at playing God. To use John's words, the people who don't follow us in the way we follow Jesus, they don't belong. But Jesus took a decidedly inclusive and unthreatened response to exclusiveness in this text. He realizes that the work of God isn't a private or privileged affair. After all, he chose teenagers and fishermen and tax collectors as his 12 in the first place. Jesus has a larger cosmic perspective, and when, as he would say on one occasion, the fields are ready for harvest, it's all hands on deck. Now, on one hand, this interpretation of our passage this morning takes the weight off of our shoulders to be the ones to determine whether another is worthy to be a member, so to speak, of God's kingdom. Understanding that's not our role allows us then to focus on Christ's greatest commandment to love one another. But there's still a big question that I have, maybe you do too, when I read this passage. I mean, although I love the lesson of loving others without judgment, don't we still have to acknowledge that there are times we see God's people around us who continue to make repeated decisions that affect their relationship with Christ and their neighbors? So then what do we do in those situations? Do we appear to pass judgment? Can we help our fellow brother or sister when we think that they are making choices that separate them from the right relationship? Well, I do think that there are still moments and opportunities for us to speak the truth in love to another when we are concerned about what they are doing or saying, because I think that's what authentic community looks like. But I think there is certainly a place to do so. But those opportunities to speak our concerns openly with another believer are best done when a relationship has been formed. What we miss in this passage is whether John made any attempt to learn more about the one who was doing the exorcism. I wonder, did John make an assumption based on what he witnessed, or did he actually get information that helped him determine exactly what the other disciple was doing in Jesus' name? It makes me think about the times that we make wrong assumptions about what another person is doing. It makes me wonder if this is perhaps what John did too. Well, we don't know, but it's a reminder to each of us that building authentic community in which we build relationships based on honesty, respect, and love is the only way in which we can question one's relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet, all around me, as I'm sure you have seen too, I see people making statements or sharing opinions about others that I'm pretty sure they have never had a face-to-face encounter with to learn more about the one that they condemn. So much of what any of us say about someone or do to someone, big or small, is done because we haven't attempted to get to know them. Now, I also want to make mention, which you've probably, hopefully heard as I read this passage, is that there are a lot of unusual, maybe even fearful things that Jesus says to his disciples towards the end of this passage. I mean, it doesn't feel real good to hear our Savior talk about cutting off hands, being maimed, removing eyeballs, and other violent actions. I want to emphasize that I don't think Jesus is saying this literally. So do not leave this worship service thinking that any of those things need to be done. It's probably Jesus' way of getting the disciples' attention. Hopefully it got your attention too. But to help all of us understand that it is their behavior they should be worried about over the behavior of those around them. So hopefully Christ has gotten our attention today as disciples and as a Christian community so that we might make a personal and corporate commitment to finding ways to spread peace among God's people rather than judgment. It's true that membership does have its privileges, and our privilege is to enjoy and enact the commandment to love one another as Christ loves us, to the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand if you're able and join in our song of praise. Just the name. Thank you. My life is in you, Lord. Please stand if you're able. Friends, let us remain standing as we affirm our faith from a brief statement of faith found in our Book of Confessions. I invite you to read what is printed in bold as we confess our faith. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the Church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life, in the cup of salvation and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voice of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Today, in our prayers for God's people near and far, let us remember the family of David Wyckoff as they grieve his death this past week. David was a former member of Highland Park Presbyterian Church before transferring his membership to our church. I also invite you to continue to pray for those who remain listed in our weekly prayer guide, as well as the needs we learn of from around the world. Scripture promises us that the prayers of God's people are powerful and effective. In this hope, let us call on God's name. O God, today we bring before you those who we remember in prayer. We pray for those who are sick and suffering, and ask that you would pour out your healing grace upon them. We pray for those who are burdened by sin and in need of your love and your will to do what is right in the face of temptation. Savior of the world, we pray today for nations crumbling in conflict, for neighbors divided by fear, and for the church longing for renewal. May we, your disciples, open our eyes and ears to ways in which we can model peace, unity, and love among our communities, near and far. We pray special wisdom be upon those who lead within our state and federal governments. Guide them to make decisions that honor the well-being of all people, regardless of social or financial status. O God, all around us, the earth is groaning for peace. Equip us to be the peacemakers needed at such a divisive period in the history of our world. Healing Spirit, we pray for those needs we know of, trusting in your perfect care for each person and situation that we lift up to you in this time. God of new life, raise us up in the power of the risen Lord so that we may lift our hearts again in songs of thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Through loving deeds and generous acts, we become a blessing to others and give honor to Christ's name. What greater reward could we ask than to share in God's saving work? Today, let us give generously to the Lord Almighty. Your offering today can be placed in the plates at the entrances to the sanctuary or mailed to the church office this week.